Mrs. Inesley Lingston, reel 4.
Did they ever tell you what the conditions of fighting had been like?
Don't think so, no. Don't think we talked about it.
During the time you were in Malta, were you in contact with your family and your friends at home?
Only just by letter, of course. But we had a system which you could telegraph. There was a code word which meant a phrase. When I was ill, I was on the serious list, though not the dangerous. I remember a telegram from my brother asking how I was. When I found the code word for saying, I'm able to go out for a drive. So I telegraphed that back.
You remember what the word was?
Yes, I can't remember what it was. It was just one word. A phrase book with words, you know.
Were your brothers in the armed forces?
Yes. They were all... Two didn't go abroad, but the other three did. And two were wounded. Oh, no. One was wounded in the Boer War. The other was wounded in the 14th War. And one died in the influenza epidemic.
Did you feel there was any danger in being in Malta?
No, there wasn't, though, in my day. You see, there weren't planes. At least not as it came out there. No, as I say, it wasn't even considered a theatre of war.
When was it that you were ill and had to return to England?
That was 17, I think, 1917.
So then there was still nearly a year left before the war was over?
Yes. Then I took a secretarial training. And I went to the first college that was ever opened for women secretaries. Mrs. Hoster.
Where was that?
That was in the city. And then, I had a very humble appointment from there to the peace conference at Versailles. So I was in Paris for the peace conference and saw Lloyd George and all these people.
What were your duties at the peace conference?
Shorthand typist. I typed quite a bit of the peace treaty. And then, when that was over, I joined up with a man who had been out there in a translation office, which I enjoyed very much. And after that, I married. And still went on with the Red Cross. But I can't think of anything else.
Can you remember Armistice Day?
Oh, very well.
What happened then?
I was working in an office. Must have been when I was training. And we were all let out. It was 11 o'clock. And I remember the whole of London was in the streets. And everybody tried to go to Buckingham Palace. And when I got to Buckingham Palace, who should I find but a neighbour from Berwickshire in a cab? I can't remember, would it be a taxi or not? So she invited me in And the driver said, would we like to get on the roof? And so, with a neighbour from Belcher, she and I stood on the roof of the taxi and saw the King and Queen come out on the balcony. And everywhere you could see were the crowds. And I was told that in Paris, having no centre to go to, all the people could do was to join hands and sort of dance round any soldier they saw. But in London, there was a lovely feeling that you would go to the King and Queen.
Did they come out and speak?
Yes, they did. But never did I think I would be standing on top of a cab.
Then you went back to training at a secretarial school.
Mm-hmm. You see, then I took this job, you see, the translation office, eventually. But I've always been interested in the Scouts and the Red Cross. I knew Badenpohl very well.
What was he like?
Oh, he was wonderful company. He was a good deal older than me, but he was awfully kind to me, and he helped me to start the first troop of Boy Scouts that was started in all Scotland. So we were very proud. We were the first Fredrickshire. So I have a lot to look back on. Mm-hmm. In the Second War, I said to myself, well, my husband's too old and my son's too young. And they were both in it before the war was finished. My husband in the Home Guard and this son here in the Navy.
And what were you doing during the war? Mm-hmm.
Me, my husband and I did salvage. Every week we went round to every school. We were living up in the Highlands. And we collected the waste paper and bones. It was up at the Kyle of La Ferche. And I think we collected and sold £300 worth of waste paper.
During the First World War, did you experience any Zeppelin raids in England?
Any what?
Any Zeppelin raids in England?
Oh, yes. I was in Edinburgh for the first Zeppelin raid. I was in Leith Moor Hospital. And I remember all the trams stopped. And we carried all the patients downstairs. And they were trying to get the fourth bridge. They tried all through the war, but they never got it. But one that night dropped, I forget what they were called, I don't think they were called bombs, on a whiskey distillery. And the flames were something terrible. Our hospital had every light out, but the whole of the windows were red with the glare. Down at Leith. Yes, that was the very first Zeppelin raid, and I remember the horror because 11 people were killed. And we thought it was perfectly awful. And just think now what the numbers are compared to 11 people.
Did you see the Zeppelin itself?
Yes, I remember seeing one.
What did that look like?
Just like a great long torpedo up in the sky.
Was it shot down?
I think two were, but I wouldn't be sure. One just missed the castle of Edinburgh. But they didn't get the fourth bridge. They tried time after time, but they couldn't get it. But that's the only raid I've ever been in. Because up at in the Highlands, in the Second World War, they didn't come.
During the First World War, in the different hospitals and convalescent homes, did you have blackout at night?
Yes. Yes. That was really difficult.
Why was it difficult?
It was dreadful. Well, you see, blinds didn't really perhaps cover the very edges of the windows. It is very difficult to make a complete blackout.
Did you have blackout in Malta as well?
No. No, because you see, there was no attacking there. They shut the harbour every night, preventing submarines or anything coming in.
I think it's quite interesting that you were able to be a commandant without really knowing anything.
Yes. When all my life I seem to have had to do things I was not trained for.
As commandant, did you have a lot of administrative work? Paperwork?
Yes, I did have. Quite a lot.
Were you in charge of receiving and sending away?
Yes, and the catering and that sort of thing. And I'd really had no training except running our own home.
Where did the patients come from?
They must have come from somewhere in Scotland, I should think. Not the Belgians, of course, because they came from Belgium.
But since they were convalescent, they must have come from some hospital.
Yes, they must have. That I don't know.
How did you decide when the men were ready to be discharged?
Well, the doctor decided it. We had a doctor, of course. But I had to do the translating. What a long ago it is.
What did the Belgians think of being so far away from their home?
Well, they were wonderfully happy. Wonderfully happy.
Do you think there was any difference between English soldiers, Scottish soldiers, Belgian soldiers, Canadian soldiers, and so on?
There was certainly a difference with the Belgian ones. But I don't think with the others. The Belgian is totally different outlook.
In what way?
They were easier to entertain in some ways. They were much more contented to be doing nothing.
Did you find it difficult to keep discipline?
Well, I did with the English, not with the Belgians. That was the reason I resigned the other, because it was really too much.
What did the men do that they shouldn't have done?
They always were breaking out of bounds, you see. And not coming back at night, at the proper hours. But looking back, I think he was asking far too much of them. How could you expect men that were practically well to come back to just a house and a garden and not go out into the town and amuse themselves?
Did they go out drinking?
Yes.
Did they have to wear the hospital blue uniforms?
Yes, I think they did.
The purpose of those was to keep them from being able to get drinks.
Mm-hmm. I suppose it would be. Mm. I remember there were two quite sort of scandalous occasions, and a very kind neighbour, a colonel, who'd been in the lifeguards, he came and gave them a talking to and said it wasn't fair on anyone like me to be put in such a difficult position.
What were the scandals?
I can't remember, except I think it was probably late at night. Oh, it wasn't worse than drink or anything. It was just that something of that sort.
Did you ever have any trouble with the soldiers fighting?
No.
Did they ever ask the nurses out?
No, we used to take them out. We used to go on lovely expeditions. People lent cars and that. We used to go picnics. We did what we could to amuse them. And they had great jokes with a cook who was a VAD too. I remember one of them put up on the door of the kitchen, R.I.P. after the plum duff. So we were in very good terms.
Did all the convalescent patients survive? Or did any of them die in hospital?
No. No, we never... No, we never had a death. But mind you, I wasn't so very long.
There were other things women could do, such as working...
Oh, yes, by the end of the time.
Did you ever consider going into the women's forces or working in a munitions factory?
No, because, you see, I was invalided out. So they probably wouldn't have taken me. But I had friends who were in munitions. And I had one friend who went to Barts for a month and stayed for 3 years and trained as a nurse. But as I say, that wasn't really what I would have picked. I don't know what I would have chosen.
Did you
I used to have been a driver, probably. Oh, yes. By the end of the time, women were doing all sorts of things, weren't they?
Were you
yes, it did what... It did the job for the suffragettes, didn't it?
Were you ever involved with the women's movement?
I didn't approve of it. Yes, I was much involved because I had friends who were ardent suffragettes, but I strongly objected to them.
Why?
Because I thought their methods were dreadful, setting fire to pillar boxes, chaining themselves up and throwing themselves in front of the Queen's horse and that sort of thing. I'm afraid I wasn't an avant-garde at all. But of course, when the war came, they got an opportunity.